Everybody say today's daf is daf Pei Aleph. We're holding 4 or 5 lines from the bottom of Pei Amid Beis. And the Gemara first quotes from our Mishnah of yesterday. Let's take a quick look at the Mishnah here on Pei Amid Beis, where the Mishnah began the color Umnin Shoimrei Socher Hein. If you have an Umnin, a craftsman, who went and did a special job for you. In other words, he's not getting paid per hour, he's getting paid for the job. For instance, we gave an example yesterday. You gave him wool, fabric, and he went and he manufactured and formed it into a beautiful suit. So that entire time that he is working on your fabric and making it into a suit, he has the status of a shoimer socher. What is the name of a shoimer socher? Is chai b'gneva veda, pater b'oinsen. Good. But that's not the key to our Gemara today. The key is the next line. The kulan she'amru. What happens if the uman called up? He sent you an email. He sent you a fax. And he told you, Toil el shulcha, please pick up the suit. The suit is finished. Vavi mois, and please pay your bill. From this point on, he's no longer shomer sachar. He is now a shomer chinam. And we'll see in the Gemara that these words and the formation of the words in the sentence are going to be very critical as to whether, in fact, he becomes, if you will, downgraded from a shomer sachar to a shomer chinam or not. We'll see now in the Gemara. So, Zok di Mar, Tanan Hasam. The Gemara is quoting from a Mishnah in Perek HaShoel, which is a Perek which we have not learned yet. We're going to learn Mitzvah later on in Al Masechta. What does it say in the Mishnah? Omaloi Shoel, Shlach, Visholcha, Umeisa, Chayv. Chayn Vishas, Vishoa, Shemachzira. What is this all about? So Rashi explains. We're talking about a mashal who owns, for instance, an animal. And you have the shoel who's borrowing the animal. And the shoel calls up the mashal and says, mashal, please go and send your behemoth to me. I want to start working with it as soon as it arrives. Guess what happens? The mashal listens. He sends the behemoth. And en route, even before the behemoth reaches the shoel, the animal dies. The animal dies. That's considered to be an ones. It wasn't mesa machmas malacha. It was just walking down the street and died en route. Who is now chayiv? Zok the Mishnah. The shoyl is chayiv, even though the shoyl never took possession. But the shoyl requested the marshal to go and send it to him. So from that moment on that he made that request, he becomes chayiv. If you look at the Rashi, Rashi starts Tanan Hosam, 6 lines from the bottom, Tanan Hosam, the common beperek HaShoyl. We're going to learn in the Miyat Hashem in more detail in another 2-3 weeks. Omaloi HaShoyl, Shalach Oysali Biat Avdecha Oyshluchecha. The Shoyl says to the Mashal, send it in the hands of your message, your guy, one of your employees, should please bring the Bahaima over.
Is that considered designating his shliach by designating the...
The details we get to will mention. But for our purposes, just to get the background and the framework. V'sholcha umesa. And what happens is the mashal sent the animal umesa kedarka baderech, koinim shetikonis lebesa, even before it arrived in the homes of the shoyl. Chaim Bonson. Why? Zokt Rashi. Shemisho'o shemosro shemesora lishluchai. The mitzvah sashoyl, as soon as the mashal handed over the animal to the shliach, at the request of the shoyl, the chayv shoyl b'onzer, the shoyl becomes chayv b'onzin, and we'll see more mirchem on daf tzarichas. V'imloy omaloy shlach el mashal sholcholoy. If the shoyl had not asked the mashal to go and send it, but the mashal on his own sent the animal over to the shoyl, kisha omaloy zeh. Hashileni Paroscha, he said, I'd like to go and borrow your para. Omalei Hanan, he said, yes. Mi'omer v'sholchol meisva derech, then he would be potter. So therefore, there's a major difference, as Rashi, between whether the shoel asked the mashal to go and send it, then he's chayv. Or if the mashal sent it on his own, without asking the approval and the permission of the shoel, then the mashal is on the hook until it reaches the shoel's property and he takes possession of it. Now that is not the focus of today's Gemara. The focus is on this next 3 words. V'chein b'sho'a shemachzira. The shoel is finally finished. For instance, it was a she'ela for 30 days. He went to Hertz, rent the Bahaima, and he rented the Bahaima for 30 days. The 30 days are over, and now he's returning the Bahaima. Now I said the 30 days are over. We'll see that's not so simple. But at the moment, he's now returning the animal back to the Mashal. And now it's not the Mashal Shliach. Now the shoel
is sending back the behaima with his own shliach. Look at the next Rashi. B'chein b'shor shemachzira. In Mosro, Mesora, Hashoyl, Liyad, Hashliach, the Shoyl sent back now the Bahaima with a Shliach to the Mashal, Lohashiva Labala to return it to the Baal. Beloy Omar Loy, Beloy Omar HaMashal, Shulchali Biad Ploini, the Mashal had not requested. We don't have the reverse situation where the Mashal is saying, please send it back. Now the Shoyl is sending it back on his own. Umeisa. He's chayev lekama b'rishu say the mashal. When will it belong to the mashal? Either if the mashal would have said to him, please send it back. In other words, if we'd have had the same type of case where the shoal said, remember, just like when the shoal said, send the behaima to me. From the moment that the mashal listened, the shoal is on the hook. Had the mashal now said to the shoal, send it back to me, then the mashal would have been on the hook. But that wasn't the case. But the case was that the shoal on his own sent the animal back to the mashal, and the animal died en route. The shoal continues to be chayv. That's what it says in the Mishnah on Daf Tzadik Ches. Now, Rav from Bar Papa now added the following few words, which will be the essential part of our Gemara now. Loishana, when do I say that the shoal continues to be on the hook, b'shor shemachzira, ela shechzira b'toichim eishelta, because it was a 30-day loan, and he sent it back on day 28 or day 29. So the 30 days are not over yet. What happens if it's already day number 31, Lamashal? The 30 days are over, the lease was over, and now he's sending it back, and then he's potter. Why he's potter? Because that was the term of the loan, it was for 30 days. It's now day 31, I'm sending it back, I'm finished. So from that point on, he is already, and not only is he potter if the animal dies en route, but Rashi says he's even potter if the animal dies in the home of the shoel. Because the She'elah has ended when the 30 days of the She'elah ended. If you look at the next Rashi, Zot Rashi, El Shechzira B'Torchim E'She'elta, Zot Rashi, two lines on the bottom, She'omalei HaShilehi Adzman Ploini. Originally they made up 30 days, L'moshel. V'Echzir B'Torch Azman, and now he's returning it on day 28. D'Hosam Akat L'Kal Ye'She'elah D'Asi De'Balim. So then the She'elah never ended until it actually returned. In other words, once the Mashal gets it back in his hands, then of course the She'elah ends. But until that point, if the Shoel still has possession of the animal, it's day 28, it's day 29, it's day 30, the Shoel is still on the hook. Even if it wasn't returned, it's still in the home, in the chotzer, in the gina of the shoel. Also, the shoel is potter. It was a 30-day contract. It's day 31. It's finished. It's over. So even though I still have possession, he is no longer a shoel. He's potter. The question is, what tour is he? Is he now downgraded to a shomer sachar, or all the way down to a shomer chinam? That's your question, Barry. I think Mor is going to address that about halfway down the narrow lines on the Amid Aleph and Yetzir Shem. But anyway, the key to this part of the Gemara is that Rav Bar Papa says in the name of Rav Chisda that if it's Kolu Yemei She'ela, he's no longer the Shoyel, he is now Potter Bait. Great Gemara. Moser Rav Bar Papa, from our Mishnah, the Kul Nishi Amru, if the Uman said, Toi L'Shulcha, take back your suit, not take it back, take your suit, V'Havi Mois, and pay for it, he becomes a Shem Mechinim from that point on. Now notice it's because he said Toi L'Shulcha. What happens if he finished with producing the suit, and he didn't call him, and he didn't say Toi L'Shulcha, but rather, he just finished it. Hagimartiv, Shem Mesachar. Even though he's totally finished with putting the suit together, there are already buttons on it, and already has whatever you need to have a finished product, if he didn't advise him, he's still a Shem Mesachar. So, Freit Yimara, why by over here did Rav and Bar Papa Amr of Chizda say that once he's finished with the Yemei She'el, it's already day 31, 32, 30 days are over, he's no longer a Shoel, he becomes automatically downgraded from a Shoel? Here too, the Uman finished the suit, he should become automatically downgraded from a Shoemer Sachar to the next step, to a Shoemer Chinam. Zokti Mar, since I see from the Mishnah that's only because he called him and said, take it home, I don't want it here anymore. I don't need it. Toilet Shulcha. Only then does he become downgraded to Shem Mechinim. Is Achmashma that until that point, even though he's finished, he is still a Shemer Sachar. Don't have a stira between that Mishnah. That's really not a stira in the Mishnah itself, because the Mishnah itself didn't say Rav Rambar Pop is Halacha. Rav Rambar Pop was one that was Machadish, that La'achi Mesha Elta. Once you finish with the Mesha Eila, you potter automatically, 30 days hits. Boom, you look at the clock, 30 days are over, he's potter. Here too, I finished the suit, I should be potter. That's the most kasha.
Does the Shul have a right to extend the She'ila?
If they both agree, but if they don't agree, then it's over.
As long as it's the possession of the Shul, he has the right if the Mashal agrees to extend
sure.
the She'ila.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right. Is that Hano worth something? Is that somehow something, like, you know, having it in reserve in case, you need to milk the cow in case, I mean, like, having it there.
Presumably they'll work out some arrangements. Otherwise,
it's purely a loan. There's no money.
Until now it was a loan, but it could be that from now on he's going to sell you on another 5 days, and now you have to pay me. Or he'll tell him, as you say, you have to give me the milk now, or don't collect it for yourself. Whatever the arrangements were.
There's some benefit to having it on your premises. That's a responsibility, also a benefit, a convenience.
Mm-hmm. That benefit and convenience, Gemara is going to talk about that svara further down, almost by the wide lines. And Mitch, and we'll get to that as well. But the interesting thing is, I thought you were going to point this out, the one that said the original halacha was Rav Rambar Papa, and the kasha was asked by Rav Nachman Bar Papa.
We say them every see them.
Presumably, these are brothers. There could be more than one Rav Papa, and there could be more than one Rav Nachman Bar Papa. But probably these are two brothers, and one brother is asking the other. But you didn't verbalize it because you didn't want to disturb the Gracious Shkaya. Anyway, so the Gemara is asking now, Rav Nachman Bar Papa is asking a kasha lechoida to his brother Rav Rafman. Papa, that I don't understand what Rav Chizda said. Rav Chizda said that after Yimei She'ela are over, you automatically downgraded your potter. From our Mishnah, we see that only if he told him the Feirish Tolosh Shulcha, you become a Shem Mechinim. But if it's just Gemarativ, you're still the same Shem Masachar. Is a Kasha on Rav Rambar Papa on Rav Chizda. Every more light. The whole Kasha that Rav Nachman Bar Papa asked was based on a Diyuk. That it's a Tolosh Shulcha. No, don't make that dik, but rather make the following dik. How are those words different than what it says in the Mishnah? It's just a difference of the order of what he said. In our Mishnah it says, take your garment and pay me the bill. Here he said, pay me the bill and take the garment. What difference does that make? Explains Rashi. Because when he says, Havi Mois, give me the money and I'll give you the garment, what he meant to say is, I'm holding on to this for dear life, because this is my mashkin to guarantee payment. Mister, you want to get your suit? Bring the money! And I'm going to go and give you the suit. In such a case, he wants to hold on to the suit. He wants to be toughest lele agre, says Rashi. He wants to go and hold on to it for as long as he doesn't get paid his bill. So therefore, he continues to remain a shem masachar. However, the lashon of the Mishnah was tol shulcha, get rid of it. I already have enough inventory filling up all of my nooks and crannies. I don't have any room for it. Take it away, and don't forget, of course, to go and pay me the bill. Even though it sounds almost like sophistry, because it's the same words, just in a different order, but you can see the reason why when a person says, Toilet Shulcha, B'Havi Mois, where the emphasis is, take it back and pay me, while the other case is, pay me, and then you can go and get it back. So that's what the Gemara is being medayik. In our case, with Toilet Shulcha, where his emphasis was, take it, get rid of it, I don't want that anymore. From this point on, he's no longer Shem Mesachar. I don't want it, take it. You're Shem Mechinim. But when he's saying, Havi Mois, bring the money and I'm going to give it to you, so I want to continue remaining a balabos, so to speak, over this garment until you pay me, then he retains the status of a Shem Mesachar. So now the Gemara is Medayik. But what are you telling me? The Gemara to Valon, my, what would be the din? It would be a Shem Mechinim. In other words, to be parallel and consistent with what Rav Rambar Papa said by the case of She'ela, that La'achi Mei She'ela, once the 30 days are over, he is downgraded. So you're telling me here too, Gemartiv, once he finishes off manufacturing this suit, also he's a Shem Mechinim, he's downgraded. If that's Taka true,
Adetani, why does the Mishnah say the kulin she'omru toilah shalchav habi mois shor mechinam? It should say even a bigger chiddush nishmeinan gemartiv. Even if he didn't say anything, as soon as he is finished, well, he doesn't. He has to go and advise the other person he finished, but he calls him up and says, "Mister, I'm finished." He doesn't use the words toilah shalchav. He doesn't use the words that pay me. He just simply says, "I'm finished." You said rafim bapapa by the case of the she'ela. Once you're finished with the 30 days, you're automatically downgraded. So why didn't say that in our Mishnah too? That automatically when he says gemartiv is downgraded, the kolshkei toilah shalchav. And certainly if he says, and take it away, that he certainly is expressing his view. I don't want it anymore, take it away. So Timur, you're wrong. Toilah shulcha is tricharei. Toilah shulcha is a bigger chiddush than gemartiv. Why is it a bigger chiddush? Perhaps I would go one step further. Since he says toilah shulcha, take it already, he means to say, I don't want to have any hilchoy shmira. I don't even want to be a shemachinim. I want to go and put this in the street. I don't want it. Get it out. Maybe you shouldn't even be a shemachinim. Kamash malan, the answer is no. As long as he's holding on to it, and as long as he was commissioned to go manufacture this garment, he remains a shemachinim. He does not get downgraded further to be zero.
How could he ever not be a shemachinim? If a shomer aveda is a machlok, a shemachinim, shomer sachar, somebody who got something with the permission of the Baal, and is holding it after working on it, should certainly not be able to mafkir it. I mean, a shomer aveda right away is...
You don't even talk about shomer aveda. Let's talk about regular shomer chinam. I go and leave my my gold watch with you, and I say, please hold on to it for the next 7 days. You say, I don't mind, but I'm not taking any payment. So therefore, just a shomer chinam, right? Now it's day number 10, and you call me up and say, Mister, you know, I've held on to this now for 7 days, 8 days, 9 days. I don't want to hold it anymore. You know, it's a responsibility. I'm all nervous. I can't sleep at night. I'm afraid someone's going to steal it. I can't take it anymore. If you don't pick it up in 24 hours, I'm going to put it out in the street. Would you consider yourself to still be a shemachinu? You don't want to continue to be a shemachinu for the rest of your life.
You don't want.
Did you hear that long pause? Yeah, continue on.
No, it's just to me. Once, I mean, if you have in your possession, you're at least mechuyav as a shemachinu. I mean, you can't take self-help remedies for somebody else's property if you
to give them a person advance notice and say, I don't want it anymore, it's taking up space. You have this person who's a tailor, he just manufactured a beautiful, beautiful suit, and he says, it's been here ready for 30 days, I'm finished, you're gonna pick it up, but if you're not gonna pick it up, I'll put up one of these signs like they have in all the Bat Midrashim, that after 30 days it's Hefker, you know, I'll sell it, I'll get rid of it, I'll throw it out.
Isn't
it an Afkamina? What's an
Afkamina? When you watch your old watch,
yeah,
Shemachin is doing a person a favor. He's doing a toy.
Right.
Okay. He has some responsibilities.
Sure.
But the guy was Shemachin so nice. He's making money. Yeah. He took it out tonight to make money. He wasn't being such a nice guy. So now, how can
he absolve himself from responsibility?
This person for the last 20 days has painstakingly late at night gone and put together a beautiful suit for you.
Right.
And
I
then
paid. I understand that. That's awesome.
And it has not been paid. This is totally in advance and an accrual. And he calls up, will you please pick up your suit? It's been lying here now for a week. I'm going to pick it up tomorrow. When tomorrow happens and comes and goes, he didn't pick it up. It's a week later. It's 2 weeks later. Toilah shulchah, take it already and give me my money. I don't want to hold on to this any longer. I have 500 more orders.
You pointed out you can sell it and that's something else.
I'm not saying that I'm pointing out. I'm saying this person on his own.
Al Shmira, he took it because he had a certain, he had some sort of personal gain.
Yeah, consideration.
Consideration. So I mean, all of a sudden I say, well, I'm a consideration.
Do you agree that at some point he shouldn't have to remain his storage house for the rest of his life?
Well, I think what Barry asked me is, what
can Barry, you have happy already?
No, I'm still.
You're not happy.
I'm suspense when you see what the girl's going to say.
Let's hear.
First
of all, is one thing. Right?
Yeah.
If you stop and tell me, so listen, if you don't pick up 30 days, I have no choice. I'm going to sell it. I'll give you back whatever.
Exactly.
That's one thing.
Okay.
He's not being mafkir. He's telling him, I'm entitled to something because I did. But somebody let him mafkir and after he has certain, you know, benefit out of it. That's my, I would think that's Barry's question, no?
Yeah. Well, the point of our Gemara is that there's a havamina. The Gemara doesn't even remain that with us in Maskana. The Gemara says the reason why Amishta tells us, Tolish al-Chav, Havi l-Chamois, He's a shem mechinim because so kadaita chamina that a person can go and say, I'm totally exasperated, frustrated, irritated, agitated, and you're still leaving this suit with me for the last week or two or three, and I'm already finished with it. Take it already. Maybe at some point his exasperation should go and translate so he's no longer even a shem mechinim. He's now zero. He says, I take no further responsibility whatsoever. It's yours. If you don't come, that's what I would have thought. But he still remains a shemach. Ikriyami. There's another version of the story. Zoktimor Om Rav Nachman Bar Papa. That instead of Rav Nachman Bar Papa asking a kasha on his brother, supposed brother, but rather he's bringing a raya. Can you imagine how happy Shevas Achim Gam Yochad is bringing a raya to his brother Afanan Amitimina? That what? What did Rav Bar Papa say? That if it's already after the 30 days of She'ela, now you're potter, you're downgraded from Shoel status. I'll bring a right from our Mishnah. Since he's finished with producing the suit, he says, go and take your suit, and now I'm downgraded from Shem Asachar to Shem Achinam. My love would in Gemartin. Probably Gemartin is the same thing. And he called him up and told him, I'm finished. He didn't use the magic word, he says, I'm finished. So, in that case, also the same thing would apply. He's downgraded. So it's just like Rav Bar Papa says that automatically when you're finished, you're downgraded. So it's more like, so Shulcha could be different than the case of the Gemartiv case. Why could it be different? Because by Tole Shulcha, he's telling him, I'm done. Take the product, take the suit away. If you don't want to take the suit away, I want you to know I am now downgraded from Hashem Mesachet to Hashem Achinim. Of course, there's Gemart, if he's just saying, I'm finished, but I don't mind holding on to it for another day or two or three or four, and therefore I continue to be the same Hashem Mesachet that I was before. So I really don't have a raya from our Mishnah to assist and to support Rav and Bar Papa's Allah. And now yet we have another version of the story, Huna Mar Bar Mereimer. He asked a steer between the two Mishnayos, our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Perek HaShoel. Umishani, and he answered it. What was the steer? Tanan, in our Mishnah, and therefore the assumption is, Muadin leGemarta, probably Gemarta the same thing. So he didn't say the magic words, Tola Shulcha, he said Gemarta. I mean, after all, what does Gemarta mean? Gemarta means I'm finished. Come and pick it up. And therefore I see he's downgraded from Shem Asachar to Shem Achinam just by using the term Gemartit. Or Minu, but in Perek HaShoel it says, Omay Shoel, Shlach, send it. V'sholch, and he sent it, Umeis, and it died. Chayv. V'chein b'shoa Shem Machzira. Also, when he returns it, he's also Chayv. He remains a Shoel. Why? When he's returning it, it means that he's finished. So just like the Gemartiv over here, he gets downgraded. Shem Asachar to Shem Achinam. One is said by Shoel also. He's returning it, he's finished. Therefore, he should be downgraded to a Shem Asachar or to a Shem Achinam. Umeshani. And he answered, Omra from Abba, Omra Chizah, Loi Shono, Sheasu, Betoichi, Meshelta. Then Taki remains a Shoel. Avriach, Meshelta. If he's Taka finished, then in a Chanam, he's Taka Potter. Like we would learn in our Mishnah, that after Gemartiv, he gets downgraded. There too, he's finished with Yimei She'elta. It's already past the 30 days. He gets downgraded from Shoel to blank. Asked Barry before, to how do you fill in the blank? Iboyelu, Potter Mishar V'chai B'Shoim Mesachar. Eitom B'Shoim Mesachar Nami Lehava, but rather only a Shemer Chinam. So we want to know, does he get a double downgrade? Or just a single downgrade once the 30 days of She'ela are over. Amra Meimar, Mistavra Potem Yishoyel, V'chayiv Kishoyim Esachar. Al Pi Svara, I don't have a raya, says a Meimar, but the Svara is that he gets downgraded only one notch and not both. From Shoyel down to Shem Esachar. What's this Svara? Hoyel V'nehena. After all, this person has gotten a tremendous toivah. If you remember, Barry already said this about 10 minutes ago. What was the tremendous toivah? He didn't charge him a penny for this she'ela. He was so nice to him and so good to him and so gracious and so fine. Okay, so the 30 days are over. But don't you think that this person should be a makir tov and not a kofi toivah? After the 30 days are over, at the very least, he should take upon himself to continue to be a Shem Asachar, even though he's no longer a Shoel. So the potter from Oinzin, I'm finished by 30 days, Sheel is over, but at the very least, he should be Chai B'Gnev Aveda, be good enough to go and be careful that there shouldn't be a Ganef, and it shouldn't get lost, and if you're not careful, Cholila, then you'll be on the hook. Even though a Maimer didn't have a Rai, just brought a Svara, but now the Gemara brings a Rai from a Braisa, Tani Gemara, Maimer, Halakiach, Kelim, Beis, Umar. The Shagran, the Beis, Chomov. Oh, you have now a Chusin. The Chusin could already be an Orus, and he wants to go and send Sivloinois to his Kala. Because, as you know, in the good old days, between the Eris and the Nisun was typically a year's period of time. So during that year, he would send Shlachmunis every once in a while to show his continued interest and affection for his Kala. So he went to the Beis Uman, and he bought from him, on, as we'll see in a moment, on condition, he went and bought a whole bunch of beautiful presents to send to his Kala. The Omalai, and he told the Uman, in the Kabul Oisimimani, if the Kala takes it and she accepts it and she's happy with it, and I'll pay you full price, no problem. What happens if she says, no, I don't like it because it's too big, it's too small, it's too green, it's too blue, it's yellow, orange, whatever the reason is, she's not happy with it, and she returns it. Doesn't sound like that this marriage is going to last very long, but nevertheless, if she returns the present back to the Chusin, and I will give it back to you, Mr. Uman, but I'll give you Lefitur Mesador Shemen. In other words, I'm going to go and give you a much smaller amount, almost like a rental payment for renting it and sending it and getting it back, because of the fact that I'm returning it to you, but I'll give you something, you know, 5% or whatever they agree to. Okay, so all of that sounds fine and dandy. And guess what happens, Venanzo? And en route, sending these Kalim from the Uman to the Kala, there was a big, big oinus, and all of it got destroyed or lost or whatever happened. So some sort of oinus.
Whose reshus was it being sent?
The Chosin. The Chosin is in charge.
The Uman is not
now. Uman is not in the picture at all.
He's sitting in his store, in his scrap shop.
He's sitting in his scrap shop. He's learning the daf, and he's waiting for this fella to come back and give him the good news. Here, I'm giving you the money, or he's giving you back the items together with a Teva Sanot together. Okay. Eminentu, and in fact it got an oinus and it was destroyed. Behalicha en route from the chosin to the kala. Then you chayiv. Who's chayiv? The purchaser who bought it is chayiv because it's his chosin exactly. Not returning it, he has to go pay the full freight, the full amount. However, Bachazira, if it's already being on the way returned from the kala to the chosin, at this point he is patur. Part in the sense that he's no longer chai be'ointzin like a shoel, but rather, he now gets downgraded from shoel down to a shoema sachar. So what do I see? Just like in that case, when the she'ela ended because he's going to give it back to him, what's the din? It goes from shoel down to shoema sachar. Here too, when the shoel ended, it was downgraded, but not all the way to shoema chinam, but to the shoema sachar point, just like Amemer said before. Now the Gemara tells us a real life story. Ahu gavra dezavim lechamer lechavrei. A person went and sold chamer, as you know, could either be wine or could be a chamar. Let's assume over here it's wine, although it's not absolutely crystal clear that that's the case, but it doesn't really make a difference. So he sold him a barrel of wine to his chaver. Nomalei kamamtina leleduchta ploini. So now the purchaser makes the same type of condition that we were speaking about, the dechusim et akala, and he says, I'm taking this wine down to Miami, le marshal, e mizdavna, if I'm able to go and sell it, mutum zayayayit, and of course I'll pay you the full amount. Viloy, and if not, madrali nilach, I'm going to bring the whole barrel back to you because there were no purchasers, I'm going to bring it back. I presume we'll pay him some sort of tribute. No, whatever. I think Mar doesn't tell us the details. Anyway, Ozal, he went to Miami. He took the barrel along with him. No, there were no buyers. And now he's returning it. Ubahari de Ka'osa, as he's bringing it back on the return flight or the return trip, guess what happens? It was a big oinus, and the barrel got destroyed. Now, based on what we learned a moment ago, we said that if it got destroyed, Balicha, it would be Chayiv. But Chazira, he'd be Potter. So heard that the same thing should be over here too. It was Isnis. It was Nemtza on the way back. Nemtza is Potter because Hashem Asachar is Potter beoinsin. Also the commander of Nachman, he came in front of Nachman, and Chayiv, Rav Nachman said, you're Chayiv, you have to pay the full amount, even though it was Bechazira. As Eisei Rav Rav Nachman, we just said Nemtza Balich Chayiv, Bechazira Potter, and they should go to Asachar, and he was an oinus. He should be Potter. So now you see the brilliance of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman told him back, Chazor dehai halichahi. This is totally different than the case of the Chusin Kala. Here the case of the return trip is exactly like the case of the original trip. What's the difference? Because my time, Svaru, Oh, I'm sorry, not Svara. Savra hu b'chazi rosei. Ilu ashkach l'zvunai mi lo izavna. When I'm from the return trip from Miami back to New York, he tells his fellow passenger, by the way, I have over here in the freight, I have a large barrel of wine. Oh, I could use a barrel of wine. From what year is it? Oh, it's from 1968. Oh, that was a wonderful year for wine. Sure, oh, I'm going to taste it. And he buys a whole barrel of wine. So don't you think the person is going to sell it to him? He's going to say, I'm sorry, I'm no longer going to sell it because it's now b'chazirasa and I'm now no longer interested. He'll sell it even till the last minute, until he gets into the door of returning it to the original seller. So therefore, every minute from beginning to end is considered b'halicha. There is no chazar. Mashenkin, in the case of the chusin kala, once the kala rejects it and sends it back, then that's already the chazira. There's nothing more to talk about. It's all over. So therefore, it's a major difference between one case and the other case. Good. And now we go back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah said yesterday, what happens if two people make up? Shmor li ve'esh malach shoymer sachar. One person says to the other, I will watch something for you, you're going to watch something for me. What's the halacha? Each one of them is considered to be shoymer sachar because there is, although there's no payment in money, there's a payment in services. In consideration for my doing shmira for you, you're going to do shmira for me. So each one is getting paid for the service that he's getting, a free service by the other guy. Now the Gemara assumed initially that the two shmiras were taking place simultaneously. I'm giving you my watch to hold, and you're giving me your cost to hold. So each one of us is doing a shmira at the same time. If that's the case, Frank Gemara, why are they chayiv l'chayiv? They should be potter. V'may shmira v'balim hi. Now we're going to learn Perek HaShoel in Yetz Hashem that the Pasuk itself says that if a shoel has the mashal working for him as his employee, that that's called a she'el v'balim, and then you're potter. Because the whole difference, it's a special exception to the normal, I'm sorry? It doesn't have to be the same malach, it just has to be a shol bimalachtoi. Mm-hmm. That the mashal who lent him whatever, his horse, his beged, whatever he lent him, if he's old, his tools, any other tables, chairs, whatever, if he's also working for him as an employee at the same time, he's potter. Why? It's based on a pasuk. Good. So now the question is, does this also apply to a Shomer Chinam and to a Shomer Sachar? That if that person is working for him, maybe he's also potter. It doesn't say it in the Torah, but the Gemara in Perek HaShoel is going to tell us, we learn from Psukim, that the same tour of She'elah Mabalim applies to Shomer Chinam Mabalim and Shomer Sachar Mabalim. That's what we're going to address right now. Yishok Gemara, if you're saying that each one of the Shomrim was working for the other one at the same time, so then you have a Shmira Balan. It's true that I'm the Shem Asacha for you, but you're also working for me at that same moment. So, Shmira Balan, you should be Potur. Omer HaPapa, the Omer Lishmoy, the Ayoyim, Veshmol, Chol, and Mochar. It's not talking simultaneously. And that's the way when we learn Pashut the Mishnah. Shmor Li, I'm going to go and watch your item this week because you're going away to Florida. And then you're going to watch my items for me next week because I'm going to go away to Florida. So it's not at the same time. Not at the same time. Then you don't have a Shmir B'Balim and this question falls away. And in fact, the Gemara repeats the exact same question based on a Brice, a Tanur Rabbanan. Shmor Li V'Esh Malach, Hashileni V'Ashilcha, Shmor Li V'Ashilcha, Hashileni V'Esh Malacha, Kulam Nas V'Shim B'Soch Hazel Lezev, Reinimar V'Amai, Shmir B'Balim. The same question, Shmor Li V'Esh Malach, if it's simultaneous, it's Shmir B'Balim. And the same Teretz Omer Apop, Anachamul, Tiamulei Shmor Li Ayom, Esh Malach HaLamachar. So it's the same, and it's, I find it surprising that the Gemara repeats the exact same Kasha with the exact same Teretz. I mean, once we give the Teretz to the Mishnah, the same Teretz, the Chor applies to the Brice as well. Anyway, so Gemara tells us now a story. Hano Ahaluyi. What are Ahaluyi, says Rashi? Ahaluyi are people that either sell detergent or that sell perfumes. Sometimes detergents today smell like they have perfume in them, so maybe the two pshatim now overlap each other. If you look at Rashi, the fourth wide line down below, Ahaluyi. Moichri oil shemachabsim by begodim vu esev. It's some sort of plant that you use for detergent, for laundering. Today, in many of the detergents, if you look, it says aloe, A-L-O-E, which may be related to this aluye. Vikram, there's another version, aholois vuhu min boisim. It's a type of perfume. Anyway, whatever it is. So these aluye people, the choliyoyim have ofi lo chad minayu. Besides selling their detergents and selling their perfumes, they also had a make, they made up between, in their Ahaluya union, there were apparently 3, 4, 5, 10 of them, that one of them, every day would go and bake for all the others, a fresh bread, a fresh challah, matzahs, cake, whatever it was, they had such a, they made up among them, that one would go and bake for all the others. There was one day, they asked one of theirs, Zil Afilan, now go and bake today. And Rashi says that the Havamina is that that was his day. In other words, this one did on Sunday, this one did on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and this was his day to go and do the baking of the new bread, whatever. Amalus, he said to them, I'm happy to go and bake the bread for you. However, since I'm going to be in the bakery, I'm going to be near the oven, I want to take off my outer coat and my dungarees, whatever it happens to be. Naturally, glimoy, do me a favor and watch my clothing during this period of baking, so that when I finish baking and I come back, that my clothing is still intact. So it's a chore, of course. Ad asa, by the time he came back from the baking, guess what happened? Pashiba v'ignav. They hadn't even looked over his clothing even for one moment. They ignored the whole thing. It was a real, real negligence. And of course, the clothes were stolen. Bochshav wasn't the pants, it was only the glimoy, but lemaisa, his clothing was stolen. Okay, so now also the coming to the papa, he comes from the papa, and he's quite embarrassed. He's missing his coat. Chayvinu Rapapa said, these guys, they were pesheya, they're chay. Now why does the Gemara use the expression that they were pesheya? Because after all, he didn't go and pay them for watching his clothing. He was just doing it for free. Ah, you gotta tell me, but he is also giving them the benefit of baking. It was his tour of duty anyway to do the baking. Every single Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, he did the baking. So that was his normal part of the regular job, so to speak. So anyway, so the point is, that they were watching his clothing, it was simply a shomer chinam. But since a shomer chinam is chay and shepshia and pashuba, okay, so the papa said, you shomer chinam, you chay, you pashia. Only the brother papa, amai pshiba balami. Afterwards, he was working for them at that same time. How was he working for them? By going and banking on their behalf. So why wouldn't that be a case of the mashal being the balam working for the shoah? Or in this case, the owner of the baker, he's working for them, and therefore it's not a shelah b'balim, but it's a shmir b'balim. A shmir b'balim is potur. So they asked a very good question to Rabbapa, and Yechsev and Rabbapa was embarrassed. He said, you got a good point.
Well, even if just go back to the template of it, of a shoel and a baal, if somebody's negligent, why would they be chayav? Why are we saying
so that? Wait for that for another 2 months. Zochti Morris, he was embarrassed.
You know, we have a similar case like that where the gardener, he had about a couple months ago, where the gardener had left his gardening instruments and
his tools. Mm-hmm. His tools. By the woman, right.
Yeah.
And they're also, I think so, they were
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago,
every day they left it by the woman. Right. And all the gardeners, right, all the farmers were by the woman.
Right. And then they got stolen.
Right.
And I don't remember how we
pushed it. That case over there was a shomer giving to a shomer. The Gemara said they originally gave it to somebody, and then he gave it to his mother, gave it to his sister, gave it to somebody else. He gave it to her. And then the Gemara said, but in that case, it's not a problem. Number one, because, there were actually two cases. One case was like he gave it to a family member, and the Gemara says, whoever is given Shmira, Aldas, all the B'nai Bayis. Then there was another case of someone that they gave, normally they gave the tools to this old lady. For some reason, they didn't give it to this old lady, give it to somebody else. And that somebody else gave it to the old lady, and now he said, Shmira, give it to Shmira, or by definition, you're Chayiv. I said, no, because since they usually used to give it to her anyway all the time,
right.
So therefore he's not a Pashir, because they were used to giving it to that lady. Why didn't they give it to her initially? The Gemara didn't address that. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara now, the Gemara says the same thing with Milza. So then afterwards they found out more details about this baker, the Hushat, the before he started baking. First he said, I have to go and take a delicious beer, so that I should be able to bear the heat and the bear all of the kneading. And therefore he went and he was drinking at that time. So the melacha didn't start at that moment. The Rashi brings, we'll see Mechim in Perek HaShoyel, that the whole p'tur of She'ela Balam has to be that the inception of the She'ela, at that time he was working for him. He could have been working already for him a year ago. But the point is that he's working for him at the inception of the She'ela, in this case the Shmir. Here he only started working for him later on, because he only started baking an hour later, 5 minutes later. It wasn't at the inception of the watching of the begotten. Therefore, it's not considered to be Shmira B'Balam. Anyway, so that's how they've answered. Therefore, Rapapa said,
So I paskin correctly after all, because it wasn't the Shmir Babal. But now the Gemara asks a Zaitig Yakasha. And this is what Barry was alluding to about two or three minutes ago. And that is Mecha Musiyim Mesechtis in Perek HaShoyl. Then in fact there's going to be a Machloikis Amoiroim, whether this Ptur of Shmir Babalim applies only to Onsin and Gneva Vaveda, or even to Pshia. Because the Svaris is, fine, he's working for me, and the Torah gives a special exemption. I understand that. But I should be Poshay, I should be totally negligent. Exactly. It's as if I put up a big sign, a boy sign, this baker's clothes are over here, anybody wants to come, go and take them, because I'm, and anyway, it's Babalim, so I'm off the hook. Come on, how far reaching is this?
Gross negligence.
Exactly. So, or in this case, willful, careless, etc. Anyway, if you hold like the man yom, the old b'shiva balam is potter, I can understand why Rapapa was all red in the face that he paskined, he thought he paskined incorrectly. But there's another man yom that holds that b'shiva balam is chayiv. So my yichsev, why was he so embarrassed? He paskined correctly. He could say, these guys were posheya, shmira b'balam doesn't apply. Pshir Abalam is still chayiv. So although the Hanich Laman Yom and that Machlekes Machlekes Amayroim, so why are we asking a kasha on Rav Papa? But the bottom Toises explains the kasha Laman Yom are chayiv me'uv de Rav Papa, the Rav Papa, the Rav Acher, Ravina, ifliga bala kamon shiu Acher Rav Papa. The kasha Limor is really not a kasha on Rav Papa. The kasha is really on Rav Acher and Ravina. Because later on Perek HaShoyl, we're going to see that this din of Pshiva Balam, Potter Chayiv, that's a machloikis between Rav Acha and Ravina. And they were among the final, Amiroim. After all, Ravina and Ravashi were the redactors, right? So therefore, these are the final. Rav Papa was a generation earlier. And the saying is, I see from our Gemara that Rav Papa was Ichsef. He was all embarrassed. And this is talking about a case of Pshiva Balam. So apparently, he holds Pshiva Balam is Potter. And therefore he was Ichsef because he was Machayim. Is Achshver on the later man, the Omar, the later generation, Amoyer that says that Pshir Bebalim is Potter. I see from this that Rav Papa holds that Pshir Bebalim is, since he was Ichsef, he apparently holds that Pshir Bebalim is Potter. So what's Pshat on the man, the Omar, that holds Pshir Bebalim is Chayim? I see from our Gemara, Rav Papa, the great giant of the prior generation, already said that it's Potter, and that's why he was Ichsef, that's why he was so embarrassed. Says the Gemara, Ella, we have really no right to Pshiva Balam because the details and the background of the story were incorrect. Rather, how Yom loved the day Hava. That wasn't his day for the baking. His day is Tuesday, and this was Thursday, and they said, Yankel, do us a favor today, go and bake on our behalf. For Omer later today, they asked him, Zilofilot, at. Go and do it. So what difference does that make? Since he was not required to do so, he said, fellas, I'll be happy to do it, but I want to get paid. What payment do I want? You should go and watch my garments, watch my clothes. I'm not going to ask for pay me $5 for baking the bread, but at least go and watch my clothes. That'll be bimkoim, and that's certainly worth a shava bruta, going and watching my clothes for the next hour or two. Oh, so therefore, I'd ask until I come back. So therefore, what was the status of these shomrim? They were not shomrei chinam. They were shomrei sachar because they're getting paid. How are they getting paid?
Services.
They get the services of the baking of the bread. And guess what happened? Adu asa until he comes back. Ignim. So it wasn't onsu and it wasn't poshuba, but it was a gneiva. And if they shomrei sachar, wasn't going to shomrei sachar by gneiva of chayz. Asa for kavod rapapa. Chayvino. Rapapa said chayzach. So not so the kasha that we asked before falls totally away because we're not talking about a shomrei chinam mitapshia. Pshiva Baal is Chayim, Pshiva Baal is Potter. Nothing to do with that. We're talking about Hashem Mesachar and it's in of Gneva Veda. But we still have the same question. Omri Rabban Rapapa, Hashmira Baalim, he survived the Shmira Baalim because he was baking at the same time that they were doing the Shmira. Shmira Baalim, they should be Potter. Yes, he was talking about it. So it was like Milza, the Yashata, Shicha Bishasi. That part of the story would remain the same. That he was drinking. Since he was drinking, he didn't start his baking yet. Since he didn't start his baking yet, he wasn't their worker yet. So it wasn't a Shmir Mabalim. Before Taka with a Papa Paskin, it was absolutely correct. Chayvu, because these guys messed up in this Gneva Veda when they were Shomrei Sachar. Good. New story. Hano Beitrei. You have two people that are traveling together. They have a Masku Ba'orcha. All traveling together.
And the Gemara tells us, I don't know why the Gemara tells us, but it makes it a little bit more colorful, that one of them, Chad, one of them was Arach, was a tall guy. The Chad Gutzen one was a shorty. The tall guy and the shorty are traveling together. And now we add some more details, which will be more relevant to our story. Aricha Rochav Chamar, the tall guy, he had a chamar, v'habalei sadina, and he had a sadin. Sadin means like a sheet or a blanket. But what's important for our purposes is that this sheet or blanket was made out of pishton, linen, like we refer often to our sheets as linen. So he had a linen blanket, a linen sheet. The good to the shorty, merci sarble, he instead was wearing something made out of wool. This is a linen garment, this is a wool garment. What difference does it make, explains Rashi, and this will be key to the next couple of lines, because it was going to start raining. And when it rains, if you're wearing a linen garment, says Rashi, the linen garment doesn't get that heavy. Apparently, either it doesn't absorb as much, or because it's a thinner material.
It's porous.
It's porous. So therefore, pours in and it pours out at the same time. Mashekin Asarbu, which is made out of wool, says Rashi, Harbi Mayim Nevloim Boy. This is so absorbent. It really makes it heavy for the person that is wearing the woolen garment. So anybody that's wearing wool in a heavy rain says, oh, I would much prefer having a linen garment than having the woolen garment. He is riding on his chamar. And he had this nice linen baguette or linen sheet. Good to the shorty, he was wearing a woolen sweater, a woolen coat. The kamazgi bekarin, he was walking on by foot. He didn't have a chamar. Okay. Now we're about to reach the river. When we're going to reach the river, we're going to have to go through the water. So it's not raining, but you're going to have water from down below. So what happens? Shakli the sarbele, the shorty took off his woolen garment, va'oisvi ilave chamra, and he put it on the back of the chamar. Doesn't say whether he asked permission or not, but he put it on the back of the chamar. The shakli the sadina dahu v'ichsibay. He can't walk around without clothing, or maybe it was a cold day like today, so he can't just walk around without a woolen garment. So he went and borrowed or took the sadin from the tall guy. And since it was a tall guy, he was able to cover himself from top to bottom, because that tall guy's garment was probably more than enough. He could probably double it over for the shorty. Anyway, shetfu mindless sadina. As they're going through the currents through the river, guess what happens? The river took away the sadin that he was carrying on him to protect himself. Okay, so now what happened is, the shorty that borrowed the sadin lost it, and of course the tall guy wants to get back his sadin or give payment. Also the comment, the rabbi came to the rabbi, chayve, he said, you, the shorty, you're chayve to go and pay him for the sadin.
Short end of the stick.
Not sure.
He's a shoyl.
Exactly. The chayri has a status of a shoyl, and he's a shoyl during and with an oynis. What was the oynis that the rebbe took away? But a shoyl is chayv onsen. Say for your chayv, your shoyl. Why the shoyl of a balam? Because the owner of this sadin is working for you. How's he working for you? Mm-hmm. He is supplying to you the service of his chamar to go and carry the sarbala. So therefore, in a sense, he's also working on behalf of the gutza by transporting on his behalf this sarbala, the wool. So Ibazoi, it's a shayla b'balam. Shayla b'balam, he should be potter.
He paid for it. He tells you to work.
Right, he's doing him a favor.
We're not finished yet. We're not finished the story. Anyway, so at this point, Rava was embarrassed. Ichsif, he said, you know, I never thought of it that he could be a worker on his behalf, and as a result, he should be potter. The Seifei Loi Milts, but afterwards we found out, the beloy date shakli or beloy date oisvei, they never asked his permission. In other words, he just did it. He took off his arbala, he put on the back of the chamar. Either the arich was riding in the chamar, and he didn't even realize that there was a pekel in back of him, or he did realize, but the mice is, he didn't get his consent, he didn't get his approval, and therefore it was done not as a shoel, but essentially as a ganef. He had no right to go and use the other person's property without his permission. No, a ganef is chaybonsen. See, it's not that the other fellow, he stole the sadin. He stole it temporarily. He's going to give it back. But Lamasi, he stole it during that period of time that they're going to go through the water. So he's not a shoal. He's a ganav. If he's a ganav, a chanav is chay ba'oinsin. And there is no p'tur of shmira b'balim, besides the fact that the guy wasn't working for him. The guy himself was the victim twice. Victim of the fact that he stole the sadan, victim of the fact that he's using his chamor without permission. So the whole din of shmira and the whole din of balim doesn't apply whatsoever. So therefore, Rava passing correctly.
But he shouldn't even been nechset because it wasn't even in the shmira of balim. Not because of the reason we said that. The original question we asked was.
The question is, why is... Look at the Rashi, the fourth line from the top. She'ela b'balim, what's the she'ela b'balim? She'bishas ha-she'ela, at the time that he borrowed the sadan, ha-yamashel b'malach de'shul shoyel, the mashel was working for the shoyel. How was he working? V'nosa sarbel shaloi al-chamoyroi u'mavriloi al-abasamayim. The fact that the... According to the Gemara's Havimina, that the mashel allowed him to put the sarbel, he says, yeah, don't worry, I know that my chamor is now going to work hard schlepping your sarbel because it's going to be so much heavier because of the water that it's absorbing, and therefore it's going to have this heavy load. Doesn't matter. I'll take good care of you. I'll be your employee. I'm going to provide this service for you.
Even if he's doing it for him, what benefit? There was no consideration given to the tall guy.
Yeah.
I mean, so he's never really an... it was completely a favor. It was completely...
Totally favor.
Right.
Good. So, more about who Gavra. The oigile chamr lechavrei, someone who rented his chamor to the other fellow. Amalei, he said, Chazid loy teza ba'orcha denar pekoid, de ikamaya. Do me a favor, you can use his chamor wherever you want, but don't go on the famous Nahar Pekoid road, because Nahar Pekoid road is always full of water, and therefore the animal could slip, the animal could drown. Don't go on the watery ways of Nahar Pekoid. Nahar Pekoid, obviously, since it's a nor, it's a river, it's not surprising that it was always full of water. Anyway, what did he tell? Zil ba'orcha denarish. Rather, you should go in the Narish away. And the Narish away, there, the Lekamai, there's no water over there. And even though it sounds kind of Narish, but I mean it very seriously, go on the Narish away. And if you remember, we had this Narish a few days ago in the Gemara, where the Gemara talked about the Chakira Narshoi. What was the Chakir Narshoi? That in Narish, they used to allow the Malva to take the Mashkin, and he would go and give it back to the Lova and tell him, Lova, but you're renting it from me and you have to go and pay me schiris for that. So Gemara said that's a real case of ribis because he's renting out the very mashkin that he received from the Lova and he's renting it to the Lova and the Lova is paying him. So the Gemara says, V'les ilchasa ki hakira narshoy. Good, anyway, so we had this Narish business already before. So he told them, go only in the Narish way, not in the Nahar B'Koid way. So guess what this fellow did? And guess what? A mischabra and the chamor died because of going through the water there on the Nahar Pekoid way. He also, when he returned, Omar, he said, and the Orch of the Nahar Pekoid Athi. I have to be moid misvada. I'm an honest Indian. The truth is, I did take the Nahar Pekoid. Umil lekamai. But I got to tell you, nisim and efluas. There was no water that day. It was dry as nothing, like a desert, and there was no problem. He died. Why did it die? It died. Amalei Rava. So Rava says, "Look, I have to believe the guy. Malo l'shakri. He has a migui. Iboy amalei ano ba'orcha denarish azli. Since there were no YouTubes and there were no hidden cameras anywhere, he could have said that I went on the Narish way, where there is no water, and the animal died, and he would have been believed. So now that he wants to go and say the truth, that he went in the Har Pekoid, and there was no water there, we should believe him, Mita. Migoy.
Doesn't really matter. He did not follow the stipulations of their agreement.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's
true, but that's what we call harmless error. It's true, I took it in the wrong way, but the only reason why you said I shouldn't take it that way is only because...
It would happen, but it didn't happen.
It didn't happen, so therefore I'm... Is that what you said also in the previous Mishnah when we talked about that he took it from, instead of doing a Harisha Bahar, he did a Harisha Bibika. And then the Yana, and as a result, the Kankan broke. Yeah. So Mishnah is potter. Why is he potter? Because on the Har, that's where he agreed to, it's much more likely that it was going to go and break. And he took it onto the Bibika, which is much less likely, then we're fine.
So if he had said nothing, he don't take the Har because he didn't give a reason. If he didn't give a reason, then there'd be no Migo.
Right.
But he didn't give a reason.
didn't give a reason in this case. He said, don't go by that road because the river's over there.
Exactly.
But he didn't say that he was going to die because of the river.
No. Who's saying there was water there? Is the owner saying it or is the
owner saying it? The owner saying it.
Okay.
The owner stipulated with him, don't go in the Har B'Koyd way because it's full of water. And you never know what happens to the water. It can go and slip, it can go and drown. Who knows what's going to happen? Don't go in the Har B'Koyd. And he did go in the Har B'Koyd and he said there's no water. He was up there. What do you mean?
He went the wrong way.
Yeah. No, but what the Gemara is asking over here is, do we have a migui or not? Rava says, this fellow said, I went in the Har B'Koyd. I'm sorry, I went in the Har B'Koyd and I violated the agreement. However, there was no mayim, so you have nothing to worry about, and it died on its own. So Rava says he has a migui. What's the migui? He could have said that I went to Narish, like you stipulated. I went to Narish away, and there was no water, and he died anyway. It was just Mesa, Kedarka, and the Baim expired.
Time is up.
And therefore, you would have believed me, Baim is to die eventually, just like Lahavdil people die eventually. So this Baim had died, and it went by the Baruch of the Narish. And you don't know otherwise, so we should believe him with a migui. Amalei, where it says, Amalei Abaya, Malashaka Mokim Adam, Liamrina, we don't see a migui Mokim Adam. What's the Mokim Adam? So Rashi, Anan Sahadi, we that live here know, next to Nar Pekoi know that 364 days out of 365 days, there's water on that road. For you to go and say there was no water, we don't trust you. Even though you said it, and you said there was no water there, however, Anan Sahadi, there's always water there, and that's the reason why I stipulated in the first place. So therefore, the migui falls away, and that's why he's going to be chayiv nevertheless. Go and watch something for me. And the person said, you can put it down there in front of me. He becomes a shemechenim. In other words, the word hanach lefonai means that I am going to take the responsibility of shmira. So now the Gemara is going to tell us there are two other variations of the story. Instead of hanach lefonai, you could say hanach lefanecha. Don't put it in front of me. Put it in front of you. And then there's the third variation where he says just hanach. He didn't say lefonai. He didn't say lefanecha. What are the halachic ramifications? Omer avuna, omer loy, hanach lefanecha, en loy shemachinav loy shemesachar. Because basically he's saying is, mister, don't give it to me. Put it down in front of you. You watch it. Not me. That's what Rav Huda is saying. Makes sense. You see, boy, when the Gemara shall is hanach stomamai. What happens if he didn't say hanach lefonai? He didn't say hanach lefonacha. He just said hanach. It's toshima. Shemar digo amaloi hanach lefonai shemechiram. So we can medayik from that hostoma for leiklum. If he just hanach, he didn't say lefonai. Lechay is garnished. Veiti ma'avirav mid amar Rav Huda. Since Rav Huda said the other way around, hanach lefonacha. Who the ain loy shem mechina v'loy shem mesachar? Because he said lefanecha hastama, but if he was just say hanach lechayre shem mechina ma'ava. El mihol lecha l'mashmina. The Gemara's lush is a little bit curious because you normally say mihol lecha l'mashmina when you're talking about a reish and a seif of a mishnah. Right. From the reish I want him a daik X. From the seif I give a daik Y. Seifa lecha l'mashmina. He was saying the first part. I want to go medayik from whom? I want to medayik from the Mishnah. Yeah, but on the other hand, I can medayik from Rav Huna otherwise. There's Rav Huna. There's the Chamishnah. Rav Huna is the Chanan Moira. Anyway, but Lamas Igmara says, I have no right from here. So what's Allah Lagabi Hanach? Let me continue. Let's say that this Shaila is a Machloikasana. Vashtate. In Hichnis Birsha. So we had this back in Bava Kamma. As you recall, you had a landowner that said to somebody else, of course, you can bring in your animals, right. Your fruits, right. Your pots and pans. You can bring it in. And he brought it into the chutz, and guess what happened? And then somehow or other, it got damaged. His fruits were eaten up by the guy Shar, or whatever other damages occurred. Says Dr. Tanaka, because when he said bring it in, he meant to say is, I'm going to go and watch it for you. I'll take care of you. No. All the balabas says, enter, but enter at your own risk. You want to put it down because it's a hype. I'm not taking responsibility for your pots, your pans, your fruits, your animals. It's a machloek between the Tanakama and Rebbe. So the Chor, you can say the same thing over here too. When the person said, Hanach, just put it down. So according to the Tanakama, he takes on himself all responsibility. He said, put it down, I'll take care of it. According to Rabbi, he said, put it down, but it's on your risk. So that's the shayla, and that's the machlekes. When the Rabban say he took upon himself the risks, that case was talking about he's inviting him into his chotze, kum tarayim. Don't worry, I'll take care of your belongings, because he is the bala chotze. The case of our Mishnah is talking about they're both standing in the street here, 91st Street and Western Avenue. Reuven says to Shimon, can you take care of my object for the next few days? Yeah, Hanach, put it down. Put it down doesn't mean I'm inviting you into my chutz and I'm going to take care of it. It just means put it down. It's going to be your headache, not my headache.
In the context of a shuk, when you're saying put something down, someone's asking you to watch it, you're saying put it down.
Right.
In the context of a shuk, because it's not in a chutzner, doesn't that suggest that the person who's instructing you to put it down is being...
That's going to be this faketus of Rebbe, which Gemara is going to bring in another moment. But at this point, the Gemara is saying is, if you want, you can add parenthetically, he says, Dreiminishka kop, you want me to take care of it? You put it down, and it's your headache. It's not my headache. No. If I'm telling you to come, I know you don't like that svar. But that's going to be what your svar is, the svar of Rebbe. Rebbe was one of the most distinguished. He was the Nasi. He was the codifier. It's your table, I know.
If you said, get out of here.
I mean, so let's wait. The time to wait. So we're going to see both svar. All the Gemara is saying, you have no concrete raya what the Rabbanan would hold in our case. When the Rabbanan said that I'm going to go and take care of the thing for you, that's because you were in my invitee. Right. You come into my home, I'll take good care of you. Now I'm going to go and offer you a drink, but I'll take care of all of your chafetz and it won't be stolen. I'll give full shmirah. That makes sense. However, in the case of the shuk, he says, put it down. Lav dachli, he's taking upon himself shmirah. He's saying, you take care of it, not me. Inami, or the other way around. Ad Rabbi Hossam. When did Rabbi say, I am not taking responsibility of a chatzera? Till the Yudrushusa Kaboyla Mishko Minei. He said, the person who wants to come into his chatzera had to ask Rishos. He can't go and trespass. So he knocked on the door. Can I come in? Can I bring in my kin? Yes. When he gave him permission to come in, what he meant to say is, yes, your invite is your distinguished guest, but your chafetz are yours. You still have to take the risk. You're at your own risk. When he says, put it down, he's saying, and I will take care of it. If you're going to go and tell him that the pshat was, put it down, and you go and watch it. To go and put it down, I need your permission. Hanach, I can put it down. I know I can put it down without your permission. You're not the balabos in Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, if he told him, put it down, presumably he meant to say, put it down in the context, I'm going to go and take care of it. Otherwise, you shouldn't say, take it down. He said, you know, just get out of here. So therefore, we don't have a riot either way, from Rabban or from Rabbi, and therefore, Gemara believes that they had the halacha of Hanach, is an Iboyid Layimshita, whether he do take responsibility or he did not. Have a good Shabbos, one and all.